Well, good morning, everyone. I trust everybody's getting in their Christmas spirit.
Amen.
I know Lynn is. That's obvious. We wanted to pick a couple things up yesterday and went to the mall, and whoa, that was a dangerous place to even think about being. So, well, turn with me to Philippians 2. We're going to move on through chapter 2 in the next lesson. And we're going to be starting with verse 12. And so that'll be our opening portion. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everyone that's here. And Lord, I pray that as we continue looking through this letter to the Philippians from the Apostle Paul, in the encouragement he's giving back to them, a thank you letter, but also exonerating them and encouraging them to live a life that's honoring to the Lord. And Father, the last few lessons have shown the importance of being a Christ-like example. And Father, as we look into the Christmas season now, oftentimes people's minds are focused more on the Lord's birth and our opportunity to be even more of a witness, to be more of an example, and to share the gospel as often as possible with those around us. Father, I thank you again and do pray that you'll have control of this lesson. I pray that it's your words, not ours, but that we will glorify you in all that's said and done. And we do ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to welcome our visitors here too. We got a few extra in. Some of them, I think the snow tried to blow into them. But anyway, as we get into this new segment, new lesson, we're going to be focusing around working out. So with that, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. One, because it's close to New Year's and everybody has some sort of a resolution to do things. You know, as we go through and look, some of what our goals are, you know, trust Christ as he interrupts our lives. We partner with others to show love. We see all the circumstances as opportunities to serve, demonstrate our heavenly citizenship, promote unity and service. And last week we finished up following Christ's example of humility. And of course now the Apostle Paul, he's excited because he's getting a word back from all of the people that from Philippi, and as they visit with him, that he's encouraged by them, and he's asking them here to work out their own salvation. And a lot of people have grabbed that verse and used it wrongly. Pastors I know in past mentioned about it, but working out, you know, when people hear working out, they think of, you know, things like that, dumbbells. And years ago, we got a bunch of them around here, don't we? No, a lot of people like them. And you know, when I was younger, I liked them a lot too, but you know, that's more my speed now, you know, little bands, try not to hurt myself, weights are heavy, although I still have them and I move them around. You know, and when you think of working out, I work out now. I work out in my garage. I work out in my yard. I work out in the garden. Not as much as I used to do. But, you know, when we think, maybe some of you would like to volunteer what you do for workouts. I know, you know, several here do. Others have their own style of workout. You know, some people like the free weights. Others, you know, like the bands. What is it? Bowflex, their fancy machine and stuff like that. Nautilus machine. I know, Brother Chris, what do you use? Free weights?
Free weights, more of a total body metabolic condition.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they walk. It's fun to watch them, you know, go out. I'll meet you here. Oh, yeah, we'll be there in about an hour. Well, here they come walking in. Pastor and Lisa, you know, they walk. Pastor?
Yeah, you work out on the elliptical and other things, but my free weights has been kind of lonely for a while now.
Well, see, what I do with mine don't feel lonely. I just move them from one portion to another.
You know? Them?
Yeah. Well, actually, no. That's all torn apart and put away because I bought one when I was 16 years old, and I still have it. It's, you know, angle iron and metal, you know, round tubing, and it was a Joe Weider, which, if anybody know about bodybuilding, he was the guy that started a lot of the, you know, exercise equipment. I mean, it looks very rustic. But I still have a lot of my free weights, and I use them for other things besides me lifting them. It's an effort just to move them over and anchor something down. So, but yes, a lot of us, you know, so the Apostle Paul is directing people here to work out their own salvation. In 1 Timothy 4, 6 or 16, he says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt not be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and a good doctrine, whereunto you thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of that life, of the life that is now, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe." And he goes on to talk about how it's important, you know, to teach and command things. But he's saying that bodily exercise profits little. And of course, the Greeks, they were well known for their exercise. They started the Olympics, you know, marathon. And I think there's a whole story about how a marathon was, that, you know, 26.2 miles from where this one messenger went to where he had to deliver the message. And I know Austin and Lindsay, they do marathons. I tried once. I was told by a doctor, don't do that, because I had, I had low blood sugar problems when I was younger. Now I'm a lot older. I have a little more weight on me. I don't have to worry about that blood sugar problem near as much. But I actually passed out several times running. And so I was told, don't do anything more than a 10K or something like that. But that was back in the days when they didn't advocate what they do now about the types of foods that people eat and things like that. So it was something to work at. And that's what the Apostle Paul is drawing people. He's saying that, you know, not saying that exercise is wrong, because we all know that we need to take care of our bodies. A certain amount of exercise needs to be done. Because if you don't do some sort of movement, stretching, and Miss Sylvia can attest to that. She finds all my knots and stuff at least once a month, and I go, ouch, you know, I must have been doing something wrong. But we need to move. And if we don't, we'll suffer for it. And we're not being good stewards of our body if we're not doing something. Maybe it's just a little bit of stretching. Maybe it's a little bit of movement. Sometimes when we move, it hurts. So it's like, okay, better work on that a little bit. And it's so important. And like I say, when I was younger, I had a very good regime. And when I was on board ship, there was a lot of times where it was where I needed to exercise. And one, to get in some of the locations that I had to get into to stay flexible. But it also keeps your mind thinking. When you're working out, you're thinking about things. You're running. You can think. I used to use running as a time for prayer. And it's exciting. But exercise should not be such that we neglect our work of the Lord. There are people that exercise is their religion. When you find them, they're always doing some sort of exercise, and they're focusing on exercise. Well, that's good. But for a Christian, it's more important to exercise our spiritual body, to make sure that we're spending our daily routine with the Lord. And, you know, it's a good practice to take care of our bodies. And we need to, if our bodies are in pretty good shape, our mind usually is in pretty good shape. And then our spiritual side is in pretty good shape. when we balance that out. And that's what the Lord's acting. And so, well, you kind of think of the Apostle Paul as he's writing this. I don't know how old he was at that time. He probably in his 60s, probably. So it's, you know, it's as if an old man were writing to a young man today. You know, it's like me writing to Brother Chris here and telling him, you know, you had not to be doing all that stuff. Eventually you're going to be like me, all crippled over maybe or something. Or your hands are all going to be knotted up. You know, Brother Charlie, be careful. Watch your knuckles when you... So it's... But he's telling Timothy at this point, and he's telling the folks at Philippi, it's important that your body stay physically fit. And back then, it wasn't hard to stay physically fit. They walked everywhere. You know, they carried everything. They weren't fortunate to have, you know, large pickups and trailers, and they didn't have, you know, what we have today. It was all very physical. And oftentimes, that physicalness killed people early unless they took care of themselves. So we today end up needing to exercise our bodies a lot more because, well, a lot of our jobs put us in front of a computer, or we can be like Brother Charlie and Chris who are turning wrenches. Maybe even Brother Gene over there used to do all of his maintenance out there on the farm. You know? That's it. That's why you have a lot of sons. I tease my son-in-law a little bit about that. I mean, he's got four strapping boys that are his work team, and it's very excellent. But oftentimes, a lot of our time is spent not doing physical work, but to spend it as we look at our spiritual side. 1 Corinthians 9:25 starts out, it says, every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore so I run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. So the Apostle Paul's stressing where we're supposed to focus. And that's what he's talking to the Corinthians, or the Philippians. And, you know, so we need to constantly be working. We never get to an age where we don't need to study the Bible anymore. We don't ever get to an age where we don't have to pray anymore. We don't ever get to an age where we don't witness anymore. I had a man in New London, Connecticut that I met. Virgil Smith was the guy's name. Not that I made his name up, but that was his name, Virgil Smith. He was confined to a bed. I mean, all he could do was turn his head and his hands. Couldn't get up out of bed. Yet, he sold Christian books out of his house. It was kind of funny going up onto his front porch because there was a little portal he opened up, and yep, he was right there. He'd say hi to you. And it was, he would order a book for you if you wanted, but he always witnessed to you. And he could lay in his bed, he could read. He said, okay, what do you need prayer about? And he would pray for you. The man always, so here he was confined to his home, and yet here he was exercising his spiritual mind. His physical body, he couldn't use it anymore. So he made sure that he stayed spiritually in shape. And so he never got to a point where he said, I've had enough. Now, I'd heard he eventually passed away. But when he passed away, there was a lot of people at his funeral, a lot of people that he had either sold a book to, witnessed to, maybe even just prayed for. Because that was the other thing. He had people come in. Because a lot of people come in and goes, oh, Virgil, I'm praying for you. He goes, what are you praying for me for? He goes, well, to get better. He goes, why should I get better? He says, I do all what God wants me to do right here. I think Johnny Erickson Tata confined to a wheelchair for, well, over 50 years now. People have come up and praying for healing for her. She said, why are you praying for healing? She said, if I hadn't had my accident, I couldn't have reached thousands of people with wheelchairs and the gospel and on and on and on and on. She says, I think that was God's ministry for me. Well, you know, it's important to think on that line of what's the ministry. So the Apostle Paul, he's exhortating to work out our salvation, not that we're going to work for our salvation or that we're going to work to keep our salvation, because that's the nice thing about it. It's done. It's just, it's kind of like polishing a piece of metal. It's the steps to go through to get a nice piece of metal, or even a car to show, to get it, that paint, look like you could just walk right into it, or your hand's going to get wet when you touch it. The steps to go through on that. And most of them will say, I'm not finished with that yet. So as I was going through here, says a young college student was asked if he was looking for work. After thinking for a moment, he replied, not necessarily, but I would like a job. Some individuals claim to be Christians, but they do not work at being Christians. We need to look like a Christian, right? Well, we do, most of us in here, nice clothes, we're, all got our nice trusty King James Bible. We're sitting here instead of in front of the television at home. There's a lot of them that play church at home. I go to church, I turn my television on, tune into so-and-so's service. I love the people that do have the television services and radio services, the ones that say, now, on the weekend, I want you to be in church. And if you don't have a church or aren't able to get there, then fine, listen to me. But I don't want you to be here instead of at church. And those are the men that I'll listen to. And it's so important. Paul realized that being a Christian required work. When he got saved, he was a tent maker. So, and he knew mending tents and making tents was essentially a continuous job. Things wore out. It's amazing to watch somebody, building a car for a show or getting an art, piece of art. There's a outfit over on the coast that does acrylic forms out of plastic, but they use optical acrylic. And I asked him about that, and this guy uses, I think it's like, he polishes this to like a finish of like 40 or 50,000 grit. 80 will make things pretty rough, 100 kind of smooths it down, 150 most people say, well, you can put a finish on it, it's fairly smooth, the finish. We're talking a few thousand times smoother than that. It feels almost like silk when you run your fingers over it, but it gives a nice complete shine on that, and you could look through there's no scratches. If you looked at it under a microscope, it's amazing. I've seen pictures on metals that have been polished to 12 or 14,000. There's pretty deep scratches in it, but they go even further to where there's almost no scratches. At like a magnification of 100, they look for that kind of thing. But what he wants is the Christian to do that every day, spending time in the Word, in prayer, studying and learning, because we're honing, we're smoothing, we're working all of the sinful nature as best we can to keep it under subjection. And it demands that we work with one another. That's the other thing, Does your wife come out and spot for you, Chris? No. My wife was good. She used to make sure that I wasn't going to drop something on myself. Not that she could help me. She just kind of maybe cushioned the blow a little bit. But that's important, especially if you're doing like free weights or walking together or, exercising together. You kind of watch each other to make sure things are going right. Well, as Christians, I envy husbands and wives not I won't envy. I love husbands and wives that do work and study together. My wife and I do. Oftentimes I come out here and ask her what she's studying, and she has her study, I have mine, then we have ours a lot of times together. A lot of times she's wanting to know what the lesson's going to be ahead of time. So we spend time together. You're essentially holding each other accountable. And I love it when Christians get together and challenge each other in prayer. That it's so important for us to know that. As we're kind of polishing each other. What's the verse in Proverbs? Iron sharpeneth iron. You know, challenging each one of us, husbands and wives, friends, with that. So he exhorted the Philippians to work out their salvation. In other words, keep polishing it is what he's really doing. Keep moving it forward. And so what he's telling them is that it's a personal effort. When we exercise, it's a personal effort. When we study, it's a personal effort. When we work, it's a personal effort. We, you know, and when we look through there, that Paul was commanding him to work out salvation. They needed to work their salvation into a practical life. And like I say, when I was younger, exercise was part of the routine. In the military, you had to take physical fitness tests periodically. And it was fun to watch a lot of these guys that would not do anything until that annual physical fitness test, and to watch the effort that they put in. Now, I enjoyed it. My son's doing the very same thing. He's getting in trouble a lot. He's now older than most of his peers, but yet he's still exercising at the age of, you know, he's 47 now, but his scores are in the 20s, what a 20-year-old would do. And he was told he wasn't supposed to be making the other guys work so hard. He says, you know, there is a level for your age group. He goes, well, you know, I mean, I kind of did the same thing. You know, we only had a mile and a half run, and it was pretty easy for me to meet my age group time. And my peers, I would usually do dumb things like run backwards with them just to irritate them, because I knew the next day they were all going to be sitting there crying and complaining. And I said, if you guys would just spend some time staying in shape. It was important. I felt that it was important for me. At the same time, I was being challenged in my spiritual life to balance that, to spend time in the scriptures. And it's so important for us now, because we can get so caught up in the world today that takes our mind off the Lord. We'll not lose our salvation, but we'll lose that edge. And that's one thing. If you leave a nicely finished piece of metal out, or a car, never watch it, just let the elements go on, what happens? It starts to get dull after a while. And it's very important, because that's what the world does. That's what the world does to us if we're not constantly paying attention to what our spiritual life is doing, and monitoring our physical side. Because if our physical side starts dropping, our spiritual side could drop as well. So that Paul's challenging them for a balance. And so what he's suggesting is the term here is bringing something to completion. Now, while we're on this earth, it's not complete. When we studied in Corinthians, we found out we're going to get this extra special body. That's when it's going to be complete. We're going to stand before the Lord. That's when that final adoption is signed and put into effect. I think back to when we adopted our daughters. The judge made it really special. He or she actually took both of our girls, brought them behind her desk, sat them on her lap, and just started asking them questions. Now, why do these people want to do that? Well, they must love us. And just ask them questions. Well, what do you think of these people? They're really nice people. And just, you know, they were 3 and 5 years old, so so they spoke like. But she made sure that this was a very special event, that it was not, because they said, "Well, you're way different than their other children. They chose you." And she emphasized that. And the other day, my wife was cleaning, moving a few things around, and out fell a little stack of papers that our next, the youngest daughter, wrote when she was 11 years old. And it was about her adoption. So it was, can't go into complete detail, otherwise we'd never finish this lesson. But my wife says, go read this and then go get a handkerchief. But she was very excited. And today, she now has 2 of her own children. She married a man that had 2 of his. And they're now expecting their first grandchild. And she is in church, and she's also a school teacher. And she's enjoyed that, and that's been part of her life. Because we didn't stop when we got them. We kept working, worked with her, worked with our life to make sure that we were an example to her. But the Apostle Paul, you know, it's a continuous action is what the Apostle Paul's trying to point out. And it also demanded individual action. When we, exercise, we are doing the individual portion of it. If we're lifting the weights, we're lifting the weight, not our partner. Although, maybe they are kind of helping us on that last little bit. Maybe it's walking, but we're doing the individual. It may be together we're doing it. But Paul, each believer was receiving Paul's command. He was asking him, he says, you each need to do that. Nobody else can polish you, but they can challenge you to maybe be a little bit more in tune to what you should be doing. Like, hey, you know, I prayed for you this morning. Did you pray for me? That would be a definitely good, no, but you know what? It's got me to thinking about doing that. I'm gonna do that. So tomorrow ask me to make sure I'm doing that. And oftentimes that helps us study as we should. You know, and we need to challenge ourselves one another. You know, Paul wasn't talking just to the leaders in the church either. You know, it was to every church member, everybody, no matter how little they are. If they know Christ as their Savior, they should be working. And we should be the examples to the little ones. We should be examples to those that just accepted Christ as their Savior. But each individual. So when we think of on verse 12 here, it says, what's wrong with believing that your spiritual growth depends largely on whether you find your pastor's messages interesting or are music inspiring? Anybody got a thought with that? What's wrong with that? If you're just here to, you know, if he doesn't have an interesting sermon, I'm not going to be here next week.
Ask them to do it next week.
Yeah, that's perfect. Ask them to do it. Can you do a better job? No, because it's important that we're here not to be entertained. Sadly, we have a lot of churches, they're preaching the gospel, but they're also entertaining. You know, more time is spent on the music and the lights and the songs and that rather than the 5 minutes on the word. That 5 minutes may be very solid. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm going to pray for those kind of people. We need to pray for those kind of people too. One, that they listen to what the Lord would have them to do. So it's, you know, our growth shouldn't depend on what the pastor teaches. It should challenge us to look deeper into the Word. Maybe that's, you know, and I know a couple times pastor says, now, we're not going to get into this, but go home and read this. That sometimes it's spurred onto a good study for us to go on. That's so important for us to understand. Titus says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and world lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope at the glorious appearing of the great Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We should be the most excited people, that knowing that day by day, if we're in the Word as we should be, we're growing closer and closer to the Lord. That's true, we are getting closer and closer, because we're getting closer and closer to the day that he's saying, all right, it's time to come home. Or some of us might die and go to the grave, then he's going to call all those up out of the grave. But we're working out our salvation. Could also be looked at as our marriage. And when we took our marriage vows, I mean, our marriage wasn't complete. My wife and I just celebrated our 50th anniversary back in August. Amen. And is it a perfect marriage? She's back here nodding. It's more perfect than it was back in 1969. And we were two young kids. In fact, my wife was technically my guardian for about 3 or 4 days, because her birthday was 5 days after mine. And state of Oregon, if you weren't 18, and I had to have my mother sign my license to sign my license so I can get married. It's kind of weird how this state does that. She was didn't need her parents' permission. She was over 16. State of Oregon said 18. Yeah, anyway, but we, over the years, you know, I'm thankful that early in our married life, the Lord came into our lives. We accepted Christ as our Savior. Now, we were 7,000 miles apart. The best we know, it was about the same time frame. When we got back, you always, well, when you're departed for 3 months at a time and you have literally no communication from my side, she could send me 12 words in 8 different messages, because we were on a deterrent patrol in parts of the world that nobody needs to know that we're there. But when we came back home, there's always in the back of your mind, has my wife been obeying our marriage vows? And she asked me a question. She said, I have something to tell you. Typical brain going along of she's going to tell me she wants to go home, or that we have a problem. Well, we didn't. She told me that she'd accepted Christ as her Savior. And that really began the point where our marriage got even stronger and stronger and stronger. Is this still perfect? No. We still have those flaws in there. It's like that little the little sign, you know, that I'm not perfect. God isn't finished with me yet. And that's really what, as a Christian, we are doing. We are growing. You know, married persons know that he or she ought to live a life like a married person. I really feel sorry for husbands and wives that make a decision going, well, you know, we're married, but you know, we don't have to act like it. We can go do what we want to do. I've known people that tried that. Yeah. They did what they wanted to do. They separated and it created problems. You know, our Christian life, we should live a life like a Christian. We should be ready for an answer for people that want to know, why are we like we are? We should be able to take them to Scripture. We should be a walking Bible, is what it comes down to. You know, it's more than, as I was going through here, Christianity is more than a storm cellar. In other words, don't fall on your knees and pray only when something happens. It's our way of life. You know, Paul wanted the Philippians to make their salvation their way of life. And that's for us as Christians. That's what our way of life is. It's completely different than the world's. And it bothers the world. They want to get rid of our lifestyle. You know, we see Christians who profess their salvation, but there's very little evidence or actions to that. Maybe they're in the Secret Service. I don't know. I don't think God's got a Secret Service. I want to think that God has got a very public service. And that's, as Christians, that's what the Apostle Paul is relaying to the Philippians. Not only that it's to be a lifestyle, but next week we're going to look at the more salvation way of life, and it's a serious approach. It's not something to be taken lightly. And a lot of people that aren't Christians will look and say, well, you have to give up all this stuff. No, I don't have to give up all that stuff. I just don't want to do it. And that's what it comes down to. So when we see this, work out your salvation, that's exactly what it is. It's an effort. We're honing that to make it, well, as sharp as we can be as Christians, to be as clear as we can be as Christians, so that the world can see that we are Christian, to see that we are different. And why are we different? Not that lifestyle evangelism is you know, the big thing to put on, but our lifestyle should reflect our Christianity. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get them to do, because he was afraid that was going to be, they were going to be taken, they were going to be turned away from that in his absence. He said, you were great when I was there, but now that I'm gone, I'm worried that something's going to happen. And I'm thankful that we're challenged every week and every day as we study to live a life that is honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify him in everything we do, because that's what we want to do. Paul learned that, and he was convincing or trying to continue that with the Philippians. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your loving kindness. We thank you for your blessings. Father, we thank you that you, with the Holy Spirit, guide us to make our lives more and more perfect as it should be. That you're helping us remove those flaws so that we don't have sins that might cause us to stumble. To help us walk on this earth to have a life that is truly glorifying you in all that we do. And Father, we want to thank you for that and ask it all for your Son's sake. Amen.